Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. The Lexington, Kentucky chapter of ART has been recording missing or lost episodes of The Great Gildersleeve. Here's episode 90. We call it New Grammar School Principal.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time, The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. Well, here we are enjoying another Labor Day weekend. Many of you will be taking well-deserved outings, but a great many more, perhaps some members of your family, will spend this Labor Day in war plants, working for victory. That's our American way of getting things done. And luckily, we've got the help of good, nourishing foods to do a bang-up job. Foods like parquet margarine, the delicious quality margarine made by Kraft. No doubt you know that the delicate flavor of parquet makes it a delicious spread for bread. But do you know that parquet is also one of the best energy foods you can serve? Yes, ma'am. And every pound of parquet contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. Yet parquet margarine requires only 4 red ration points a pound. And remember, parquet carries the seal of acceptance of the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association. So for flavor and good family nutrition, serve parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y, parquet margarine, made by Kraft. Now let's join the Great Gildersleeve. It's the last week of his vacation, and we find him relaxing on the couch at home, enjoying a little light reading.
Tax on 1943 income, tax on 1943 income, whichever is greater, total payments to collector during 1942 for 1942 income tax, amount paid for with this declaration. I might have known they wanted money. Hello? I guess so, just a minute.
For me, Uncle Mort?
No, Marjorie, it's for Leroy, again. Leroy! Telephone!
Oh, he makes me sick. I'm expecting a call. But how can I get it if he's using the line all the time?
I don't know. Between the two of you, nobody ever gets a chance to call me.
What's the matter now, Unc?
It's Piggy Banks again, for you.
Oh, thanks. Hello? Oh, yes, B9. This is K-15.
Oh, for Pete's sake, get off the phone, will you?
Go soak your head. Listen, B9, how's the prisoner? You're sure he hasn't escaped? Yeah, why don't you go over and look? Okay, B9, this is K-15, signing off.
Listen, Leroy, I'm expecting an important phone call, so please don't be cluttering up the telephone lines with your little games.
Games, she says. I was talking to a key man in our new organization.
It was only Piggy Banks. What was all that about a prisoner?
None of your beeswax.
Oh, what is this mysterious organization, anyhow?
It's our Victory Club. It's a good club. We're helping to win the war.
How?
Well, whenever there's a practice blackout, our members guard against burglars.
Oh, no, you don't.
But, Unc, why not?
Because when there's a blackout, you belong indoors along with everyone else.
But that's when the burglars take advantage.
Burglars? If you ever saw one, you'd faint.
Oh, yeah?
So would Piggy.
He would not.
He would so.
He would not.
Stop this. I'm trying to figure out something very complicated, and I must have quiet.
But, Unky, I'm not bothering you. I'm just sitting here quietly, minding my own business. I'll get it. Hello? Piggy, will you kindly stop phoning Leroy every 3 minutes? Some people need to use the telephone on important matters. Oh, is that so? Well, so do you.
Marjorie! By George, I can't wait till you're both back in school.
Neither can I.
Give me the phone, tall, dark, and useless.
Here.
K-15 talking. Go ahead, B-9.
Oh, hurry up.
What's with the prisoner, B-9? Well, he had it coming to him, the rat. No, let's forget him and go to the movies. No, I already saw that. It was pretty good, too. Cary Grant is this gambler, see? And he finds out about the sabotage and...
Leroy!
What's the matter?
I will not allow these interminable conversations on the telephone. If you want to tell Piggy about a picture, go where he is and bore him with it personally.
That's what I say.
You stay out of this. Terminate your conversation, Leroy.
Okay. How about the picture at the Majestic, Pig? Wait, I'll ask. Can I have a quarter to go to the movies, Unc?
No.
But I...
No!
Forget the movies, Pig. I'll call you later if I
terminate the conversation, Leroy.
Okay. This is K-15 signing off, B-9.
Leroy, you... When does school start?
A week from Monday. We're going to have a new principal.
Who said so?
New principal?
Yeah, Mr. Poindexter went into the Army, so we're going to have a lady principal. Can you imagine that?
What's the matter with a lady principal?
Well, nothing. But gosh, Poindexter was super. He could drop kick 55 yards.
You didn't think he was so wonderful when he caught you and Piggy in the girls' locker room.
We were just using it for a shortcut.
Leroy, go outdoors and play.
Play what? With who?
Anything. Play ball, but get outside.
I could go to the movies. That would keep me out of mischief.
No, go out and play ball like a normal, healthy boy.
Okay. You'd think I was a criminal or something.
You kids are going to drive me crazy.
Leroy is awfully annoying.
You're no better, the way you bicker with him all day. What the? Is that kid throwing his ball at the house?
I suppose so.
Marjorie, go out and tell him to stop that. I've told him 1,000 times. Wait till he comes in here to get his ball.
We're lucky we didn't get hit.
Oh, Leroy!
Did you want me, Unc?
Yes, I want you, young man. Come here to the window.
I'm sorry, Unc. I didn't mean to break anything.
I dare say. Well, you'll have no further opportunities for mischief before school starts. You're going back to work for Mr. Peavy for the rest of your vacation.
But, Unc, I don't think Mr. Peavy wants me.
Ridiculous. What makes you think that?
He said so when I left.
Just a whim. I'll talk him out of that. Come in here and clean up this glass and... If that's for Leroy, he can't come to the phone.
Aw, oh, gee, Unc.
Hello? Dorothy, I've been waiting for you to call for hours. I've got a TL for you.
Oh, for corn's sake, is that your important business?
Shut up. Listen, Dort, Roger Lawler said he thought you were the second prettiest girl at the dance.
Oh, my goodness. The telephone was invented 100 years too soon. Oh, look where you're going, Leroy.
Sorry, Unc.
Well, pick up your feet. Go ahead. Good afternoon, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. Leroy.
Hi.
I haven't seen you around lately, Leroy.
He's been around. Peavy, I've got a problem. I'd like to ask your advice.
No charge for that, Mr. Gildersleeve.
What are you going to do with a boy who seems to spend his whole time just trying to get into trouble?
Any particular boy, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, I won't mention any names, but this young scamp here, this scallywag...
Hey, don't muss my hair. I just combed it.
Well, boys will be boys, I suppose, huh, Peavy?
Yeah, I guess there's not much doubt about that, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes, sir. By George, I wouldn't give 2 cents for any boy who didn't have a little of the old Nick in him.
Are you kidding?
Yes, we've had some great old times together these last couple of weeks, haven't we, Leroy? Haven't we?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes, some great old times. But as my father used to say, fun is fun and enough is enough. The vacation's about over now, and I think it's time Leroy started settling down a little.
I can go along with you there, Mr. Gildersleeve, but there's one question I'd like to ask.
What's that?
Where do I come in on this?
Well, I was thinking, Peavy.
He wants you to give me my old job back.
Leroy!
I told him you wouldn't want me.
Leroy, I'll handle this if you don't mind.
It's all right, Mr. Gildersleeve. I think Leroy and I understand each other, don't we, Leroy?
That's what I told him. I told him you wouldn't let me back.
Don't misunderstand, Mr. Gildersleeve. Leroy and I parted on the best of terms. I simply found that his services were something I couldn't afford.
Peavy, if you'll take him back, he'll work for nothing.
Hey, wait!
Quiet. I'll be frank with you, Peavy. Leroy needs this job more than you need Leroy, and I'll tell you why. You know, all of the time that Leroy was working for you here in his spare time, he never once got into trouble.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
It's a fact. I never had a bit of trouble with him. I'll even pay his salary if necessary.
It isn't what I was paying him, Mr. Gildersleeve. The business can stand that. It's what he was eating. Well, here's Mrs. Belzer.
Mr. Peavy, have you seen my Arthur?
Why, no, Mrs. Belzer. Arthur hasn't been in today.
Oh, dear, I've looked everywhere. He didn't come home to lunch today, and I'm just about frantic. Leroy, you haven't seen Arthur, have you?
Leroy?
No, ma'am.
Well, I just don't know what to do. Arthur always lets me know if he's going anywhere. Something's happened to him. I just know it. He's been kidnapped or fallen off his bicycle.
Now, Mrs. Belzer, I wouldn't get excited. Children have a way of turning up, you know.
But I haven't seen him since breakfast. He and Piggy Banks and some of the boys have been digging a clubhouse, and I supposed he was over there. But I asked Piggy.
You say he was digging a clubhouse?
Yes, I don't know where exactly, in some vacant lot.
Leroy, are you sure you haven't seen little Arthur?
When would I see him? I've been home all day, practically.
Well, I don't know what to do. I'm just about ready to call the police.
I was just going to suggest the police.
Gosh, you don't need to do that, Mrs. Belzer. I mean, I'll help you look for Arthur. Why call the police?
Leroy?
You can't tell. Maybe he climbed a tree and got stuck. Maybe he went blackberrying and got caught in the bushes.
Blackberries in September?
Maybe a goat chased him and he got lost. You don't want to worry, Mrs. Belzer. Anything could have happened to him.
Leroy, come back here.
I'm going to look for Arthur.
Mrs. Belzer, I wouldn't worry about Arthur if I were you. I have a feeling he's going to turn up.
Oh, do you think so?
I can practically guarantee it. Wait till I get Leroy home. Leroy! I guess he knows what's coming. Marjorie! Oh, Marjorie!
Is that you, Miss Gildersleeve?
Yes, it's me, Bertie. Is K-15 around anywhere?
You mean Leroy? Well, now, that's a funny thing. Leroy was in here in the parlor just a few minutes ago.
He must have seen me. How long has he been home?
Oh, about 10 minutes. Something wrong, Mr. Gildersleeve? He'd been mighty good and quiet since he came in.
He was a little late with that.
I knew there was something going on when he offered to help me with the dishes.
Yes.
Gildersleeve residence.
What?
Yes, ma'am. Just a minute. For you, sir.
Thank you, Bertie. Say, who told you to say Gildersleeve's residence?
It was Miss Marjorie's idea. She thought it would sound like we were rich.
Well, we're not rich, and this is not my residence. I just live here, so just say hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Oh, yes, Mrs. Belzer. Arthur got... Well, that's fine. I thought he'd... But Mrs. Belzer, boys will be... Boys will be... Yeah, boys will be... Mrs. Belzer, that's no way to talk.
Would you like a cup of tea, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I'd like to get my hands on Leroy. He's done something terrible to the Belzer kid, and she's liable to get the police or sue me or goodness knows what. If... Who the devil is that?
Could be the police.
Oh, no. She wouldn't really do that. Still, go to the door, Bertie, will you? If it is the police, tell them I'm lying down.
Lying down, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes.
You ain't had much experience with the law, have you?
No, and I don't want any.
You lay low. I'll handle them.
Good old Bertie.
Oh, is Mr. Gildersleeve in?
Yes, he is, Mrs. Banks. Come right in.
Mrs. Banks, do come in. Sit down.
I can't stay a minute, Mr. Gildersleeve. Have you seen Piggy?
Why, no, Mrs. Banks, I haven't. I can't find Leroy either.
Well, I've just been talking to Mrs. Belzer. She's so hysterical, I can't find out what happened.
Neither can I.
Oh, dear. Mr. Gildersleeve, I do wish Leroy wouldn't drag Piggy into these escapades.
Well, now, Mrs. Banks, what makes you think this thing was engineered by Leroy, whatever it was?
Mrs. Belzer said Arthur told her it was entirely Leroy's idea.
It was not. It was Piggy's idea.
Leroy, where are you?
Under the sofa.
Well, come out of there at once.
Okay.
Stick your shirt tail in. Now, young man, tell me and Mrs. Banks just what you boys did to Arthur.
We hardly did anything to him, Unc.
Leroy, Mrs. Belzer is in a state of hysteria. She's setting the police on us. I want facts.
We tied him up in the club cave and left him there a little while. That's all.
That's all?
Practically.
Well, I must say, this certainly doesn't sound as if it was Piggy's idea.
It wasn't, Mrs. Banks. Piggy's idea was cutting his hair off.
What?
Leroy, I'm ashamed of both of you.
Well, gosh, Unc, we didn't hurt him. We only tied him up about an hour and a half, and anyway, he deserved it because he was a traitor to the club.
How do you mean?
He revealed the club's secrets to a girl.
Ridiculous. Mr. Gildersleeve, do you know what this is? It's juvenile delinquency, and it calls for drastic measures.
I think I know what you mean.
Leroy, do you know where Piggy is?
No, Mrs. Banks, I don't.
I'd suggest you go home and look under the sofa.
That's just what I'll do, and I'll make that young man sorry he got up this morning. Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Goodbye, Mrs. Banks. Well, young man, wait here a moment while I go upstairs and get my strap.
Strap? Oh, gee, Unc.
The way of the transgressor is hard, my boy.
Yeah? Gosh. Hello? K-15 calling B-9. Better get ready for a blitz.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in a few seconds. Meanwhile, I'd like to remind you of that chart of the basic 7 food groups your dealer has been displaying. It shows how you can help your government promote good nutrition. Remember, Uncle Sam needs a strong to carry through to victory. By serving foods from each of the 7 basic groups every day, you can keep your family well-nourished. The official government chart includes now in one of those basic groups, margarine, fortified with vitamin A. So if you serve Parquet, the vitamin A fortified margarine made by Kraft, you'll be making an important contribution to your family's diet. Parquet margarine takes only 4 red ration points a pound, and each pound of Parquet contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. Parquet is not only one of the best energy foods, it's also a delicious spread for breads, hot toast, or rolls. Your family will enjoy it at every meal. So for good taste and good nutrition every day, be sure to serve Parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y, Parquet Margarine, made by Kraft. Now we return to the Great Gildersleeve. Having encountered the problem of juvenile delinquency at home, he finds other parents in Summerfield are also concerned, and he's now worked himself up to the point of action. He has called a small unofficial parents' meeting in the office of Judge Hooker, who happens to be a member of the school board.
Now, if we can have some sort of order, please. A little order, please. Thank you. As you know, we've met here today to consider a grave question, a question that involves the welfare of all of our young people. I'm going to call first on Judge Horace Hooker. Judge?
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, juvenile delinquency is our 6th column in this country today. Fortunately, it is not yet a very serious problem in Summerfield.
I beg your pardon?
Now, Mrs. Belzer, please.
Well, if the goings-on in this town aren't serious, I'd like to know what is serious.
Serious or not, the time to take steps is now.
Mr. Chairman?
Judge Hooker has the floor, Mrs. Banks.
Well, I think we're making a mountain out of a molehill. There is no juvenile delinquency in this town.
Oh, is that so?
Mrs. Belzer, you're out of order.
I'm out of order?
Yes.
Your nephew kidnapped my boy, but I'm out of order.
Please.
Nobody kidnapped your boy.
Yes, they did, and cut his hair off.
Ladies, we must keep this discussion on a higher plane. Judge Hooker has the floor. Judge?
Mr. Chairman, I think we all agree that the answer to juvenile delinquency is education. I predict that our little flurry of trouble here in Summerfield will disappear as soon as school opens up next week.
You may be right, Judge. Interesting thought.
Mr. Chairman?
Something constructive, Mrs. Belzer?
Well, it's all very nice to say things will be all right as soon as school opens, but how do we know what the school is going to be?
What do you mean, Mrs. Belzer?
Well, what's this I hear about the new principal? I hear she's one of those so-called progressive teachers.
Oh, so, perhaps Judge Hooker can shed a little light on the subject. In your capacity as member of the school board, Judge, if you please.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't met the new principal, Miss Goodwin, I believe her name is, but I must confess that she does come to us with certain progressive associations.
Well, that'll bear looking into.
Yes, she appears to be an expert on all these modern teaching methods.
That's just what I heard about her.
Teaches the kids how to make pretzels out of modeling clay when they should be learning the multiplication tables. The 3 R's were good enough for us, weren't they, Judge?
Exactly, and a liberal dose of the old hickory stick didn't do any harm either.
No, sir, and it's still good.
Well, you don't get any hickory stick with these newfangled teachers. My sister lived in another state, and her child went to a school where there was no discipline at all. They all did exactly as they pleased, all day long.
Why, that's terrible.
The funny thing was, at the end of the year, my nephew was reading beautifully.
Well, reading's no good if a child grows up to be a hoodlum. Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Belzer.
I think we ought to take steps to prevent this Miss Goodwin from ruining our grammar school.
I think we should, too. After all, it was good enough for us. What kind of steps could we take, Judge?
I suppose we could send a delegation to call on her to express our feelings in the matter.
Yes. Tell her we don't want any outlandish goings-on in Summerfield.
That's just what we ought to do, Judge.
Yes, and you're the man to do it.
How about it, Judge?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sympathetic, but as I'm a member of the board, my hands are tied.
Well, mine aren't. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll volunteer to call on this dragon. I'll really tell her off.
I think Mr. Gildersleeve would be excellent.
I think so, too.
Well, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Well, thank you. And you may rest assured, all of you parents, that I will not pull any punches. When I get through with Miss Goodwin, she'll know I'm a pretty good one myself. Well, not a bad little place she's got here. I'll say that for the old girl.
How do you do?
Oh, I guess I got the wrong house. Pardon me.
Well, that's quite all right.
Mistake. I was looking for 216.
This is 216.
Oh. Well, I guess I must have gotten the number wrong then. I'm sorry. I was looking for a Miss Goodwin.
I'm Miss Goodwin.
I'm Mr. Gildersleeve. I phoned this morning. I represent a little group of parents.
You're Mr. Gildersleeve? Of course, how stupid of me. Come in, won't you?
Thank you.
As you see, I've just moved in. I haven't even had time to unpack my books or hang any pictures, so it's a little barren. I think books do so much for a room, don't you?
Oh, I wouldn't live in a room without them.
Well, let me take your hat, won't you?
Thanks. Yes, sir, there's nothing like a good book. I can sit and read them by the hour.
Do sit down. I think you'll find that little rocker comfortable.
Well, if you don't mind, I think I'll take the sofa.
By all means.
Thanks.
You know, Mr. Gildersleeve, you're not at all the type of person I imagined you to be when you telephoned this morning.
No. I suppose you expected some kind of ogre.
Well, you seem so much gruffer. I don't know. I just had a different picture of you, that's all.
You should see the picture I had of you.
You know the kind of people one runs into in a new place. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. But you seem more the intellectual type.
Somebody's been telling you about me.
No, I was aware of it the first moment I met you. You know how it is sometimes when you first meet a person and all of a sudden, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's such a comfort coming to a strange town to feel that you have one friend. One person who understands, someone you can share the finer things with.
That reminds me, I must renew my subscription to the Atlantic Monthly.
Tell me more about yourself. You've loved poetry, don't you? I can tell it by your hands.
Oh, you'll have to excuse those. I was fixing the car. But I am fond of poetry.
Tennyson? Longfellow?
O. Henry! Between the dark and the daylight, when the night is beginning to lower. comes a pause in the day's occupation that is known as the children's hour.
We say that with such feeling. Tell me, have you any children?
Two.
Oh, you're married then.
Oh, no. They're my niece and nephew. I never got around to getting married myself, somehow. Not quite. How about you?
Oh, gracious, I've been much too busy to think of marriage. Well, this is all very pleasant, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I suppose it's not what you came for. You had something to say to me?
Say to you?
Yes. You mentioned a group of parents.
Oh, yes.
You had some message from them?
Yes. We just wanted to welcome you to Summerfield, Miss Goodwin, and tell you we're behind you 100%.
Oh, how very nice.
And may I say that goes for me, personally.
Here he comes, Judge. Here comes Uncle Mort.
It's about time. I've got to be getting home to supper.
Bertie, Unc's home, and I'm starved.
All right. Won't be but a minute now, Leroy.
Well, Gildy.
Oh, you here, Judge?
I can't stay but a minute. I just dropped in to see how you came out with Miss Goodwin.
Yeah. Did you tell her, Unc?
Tell who? Tell her what?
The new principal. Did you tell her off?
Yes. Did you see her, Throckmorton?
Yes, I saw her.
Well, did you have a satisfactory interview?
Oh, yes. Very satisfactory.
That's good. You found her cooperative, in other words?
Oh, yes. Quite cooperative.
It seems your uncle isn't talking this evening, Marjorie. The cat has evidently got his tongue. Come on, Gildy. Tell us about it.
Yeah, come on, Unc. What's she like?
Who?
Old Lady Goodwin.
She is not an old lady, Leroy, and don't ever let me hear you call her that again.
Oh, so she's young then?
I didn't say so.
Well, if she isn't old, she must be young. Is she pretty, Gildy?
I don't see what age or beauty have to do with it, Judge. If you must know, I found her a very attractive and intelligent woman. So she probably wouldn't appeal to you.
Aha!
Mr. Gildersleeve, dinner's ready. It's on the table.
What's more, I'm not so sure there isn't something in this modern education. It might prevent young squirts like Leroy from growing up to be old goats like you. All right, laugh. You can't appreciate the finer things anyway.
Mr. Gildersleeve, dinner's on the table and going to pot.
Well, I've got to be running along. I'll leave you with the finer things, Gildy. Good night, Marjorie. Good night, Leroy. Tell me one thing, Gildy.
What is it, Horace?
Is she really progressive?
Good night, Judge.
Oh, Unc, have you got a minute?
What is it, Leroy?
You sure I'm not interrupting you?
No, my boy, what is it?
Well, I've been thinking, and I've decided I'll be glad when school starts again.
Well, I'm happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, a fellow gets tired of just having fun and wasting time. A fellow wants to be studying and making something of himself.
Well.
So I'm going to work hard and strive to get good marks this year.
Well, that's fine.
Say, Unc, could I have a quarter to go and see I Walked with a Zombie?
You get out of here. Good night, everybody.
Music heard on this program was under the direction of Claude Sweeten. This is Charles Lister speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to listen in again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This presentation of the Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as the Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy, with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie and Lisette Ralph as Bertie. Nick Helton was the judge, and yours truly, Bob Hutchison, played Mr. Peavy. Also in our cast, you heard Pam Hungate as Mrs. Belzer, Susie Hutchison as Mrs. Banks, and Janet Whitaker as Miss Goodwin. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison speaking and inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio. The King of Swing. Yes, sir, it's Benny Goodman himself playing with his orchestra in the Manhattan Room of the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. You're in the shade to begin with, yes, sir, in the shade of the old apple tree. Benny Goodman. Here's the voice of lovely Martha Tilton. She's going to sing, I've Got That Old Feeling.
I saw you last night and got that old feeling. When you came inside, I got that old. The moment that you passed by, I felt a thrill. And when you caught my eye, my heart stood still. Once again, I seem to feel that old yearning. And I knew the spark of love was still. That old yearning.
Benny Goodman and his orchestra picturing in music Moonlight on the Highway. Maestro has a bit of something special up his sleeve. So may we present Benny Goodman.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Benny Goodman announcing the trio again with Teddy Wilson at the piano, Gene Krupp at the drums, and Whispers in the Dark. Take it, Theodore.
And again, we welcome Martha Tilton to the microphone as she sings, "The Moon Got in My Eyes." Benny Goodman and his orchestra. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. do believe Benny Goodman himself would have words with you. All right, Benny?
And now, with the addition of Lionel Hampton at the vibraphones, we play Avalon. Take it, Lionel.
Again to the microphone, Martha Tilton. She sings, "I'd like to see some more of Samoa." one great orchestra director salutes another one. Benny Goodman plays Duke Ellington's Caravan. After that arrangement, and can you blame him? Satan takes a holiday. We've brought you the music of the King of Swing himself, Benny Goodman, playing with his clarinet and his orchestra in the Manhattan room of the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. John Allen Wolfe speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ah, gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please visit our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. Hey, see you next time.